Сегодня мне выпала привилегия также поделиться с вами Словом Божьим. Откроем и будем читать 10 стихов из книги Судей. 10 стихов из книги Судей. 6 глава, 15 по 24 стих. Так что будем читать из книги Судей, 6 глава, 15 по 24 стихи. И будем говорить о Гедеоне, о одном из судей, который написан или описан в этом книге Судей. И как раз в этом тексте Священного Писания, можно сказать, Гедеон поменял свое мнение, или по-английски сказать, changed his perspective. Я не знаю, если у вас так бывало, но иногда, знаете, особенно когда в новом городе едешь, куда-то повернул, кажется, туда или не туда, и себя спрашиваешь. Или, например, надо сделать какое-то решение, например, там, работу взять эту или не взять, и думаешь, взять или не взять, решение думаешь. Или даже иногда в церкви слышишь Слово Божие, может быть, проповедь, или читаешь Библию, и вроде Дух Святой нам что-то говорит на сердце, надо что-то сделать, тянет, и думаешь себе, делать или не делать. И вот как раз в этом месте мы будем где читать. Гедеон имел такое как бы размышление сам собою. С ним говорил Господь, с ним говорил ангел, и он хотел доказательства, хотел, чтобы вот это чувство, делать или не делать, было какое-то доказательство у него, чтобы толкнуло его, может быть, через этот какой-то барьер. Итак, прочитаем этот отрывок. Я буду читать по-английски, но вы, пожалуйста, следите по-русски. 15 стих по 24 глава 6. Сейчас я буду читать оттуда. So, I'll go ahead and read Judges chapter 6. Verses 15 through 24, it says the following. So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until I come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them to the angel of God. And said this to him, Take the meat. But the angel of God said this to him, Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, The Lord is Peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Итак, мы прочитали этот кусочек Священного Писания, можно сказать, или текст Священного Писания. Я вижу, у нас есть некоторые люди, которые говорят по-английски, так что я буду продолжать по-английски, но хотел вкратце сказать, что мы посмотрим на как бы 5 моментов из этого текста. Помните, что ангел явился, и здесь имеет диалог с Гедеоном, и он говорит, что ты должен спасти Израиль. И в каком-то контексте, в том контексте, что Израиль, считай, в рабстве является. Гедеон прячется, он где-то прячется и мелет там пшено вместе вообще, чтобы скрыться от этих людей, которые их преследуют. И вдруг является ему Господь и говорит, чтобы он спасал Израиль. Как это кажется нереально, да? Совсем нереально. И вот здесь идет этот диалог, и как раз где мы прочитали эти 10 стихов. Я хотел заметить 5 мест или 5 как бы мыслей из этого места. Первое, это в 15 стихе, смотрите, Гедеон делает правильную самооценку. Так что смотрите, первое – правильная самооценка. Второе – в 16 стихе источник силы, откуда приходит. Третье – 17 по 20 ищет подтверждение Гедеон. Как он ищет подтверждение? 21 по 23 получает подтверждение, и потом в последнем 24 стихе ответ. Или какой ответ Гедеона, когда он получает подтверждение? So with that, I'll switch over to English for those of you that don't understand Russian. And as I mentioned, I want to look at these five places or five thoughts from this passage. And as I was considering this passage, if you read this passage, it was tough for me to come up with an outline. And I'm sure you can come up with many different outlines, but these are the five thoughts that jumped out at me. And remember, before we look at these five thoughts, that the context is that God is having a dialogue with Gideon. And Gideon is living during a time and place of unbelievable oppression. The land is suffering, the nation of Israel is suffering, and all of a sudden an angel comes to him and says, "You, go out there and save the people." And for us now, sometimes we accuse Gideon of having lack of faith, but ask yourself, frankly, you've never experienced anything even remotely close to what Gideon experienced. And if you had, if you were living under complete control and oppression and someone came to you and said, "Go ahead and save my people," what would be your response? And so given that as context, I think it's very understandable the fact that Gideon was looking for some additional assurances. So where we pick up this dialogue that we read is that God had come to Gideon and he called him a mighty valor in man of mighty valor in verse 12. In verse 13, God told him, in verse 13, we see that Gideon had a wrong assessment of the situation. Remember, he thought that God had left him, but God didn't leave him. God actually committed the nation of Israel to the Midianites. And then in 14, God tells him to go and save Israel to his great surprise. And so what happens? What happens? We see that point number one that I wanted to highlight is that in verse 15, Gideon actually has the right self-assessment. So whether in spiritual life, professional life, your relational life, life with your spouse, it's so important to start off with a correct self-assessment. And as we spoke last time, Gideon's assessment of the situation, of his environment, was not right in verse 13. We see that it wasn't right. But oh, thank God that even though our assessment of our environment sometimes is not right, when we have the right self-assessment, God gives us mercy. And so look at the self-assessment that Gideon has in verse 15. What does Gideon says? He says, "How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So said differently, Gideon has a very low view of himself. He basically using other words saying, "God, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am unworthy," he's basically saying, "to save your people." And that's interesting when we compare this response to the unwillingness of other leaders of faith, such as Moses. Remember what's written in Exodus 3:11 and 4:10 and 13 when God appeared with him? To him, Moses was very reluctant. He was saying, "Use anybody else, but not me." Remember Jeremiah in 1:6? Jeremiah was saying, "I'm too young." Amos in 7:14, even Peter in Luke 5:2. He was telling God to leave his boat because he was a sinful man. So what do we see here? We see the correct self-assessment. We see Gideon's humility. And a theologian whose name I don't recall once said that true humility is the usual companion of true greatness. And how true it is in Moses' case, who was the most humble person as we know, in Gideon's case, and of course in Jesus' case, who humbled himself beyond all. And so we see first and foremost that Gideon starts with a correct self-assessment. He, like I said, says, "Lord, I am nothing." And when we look at Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:16, there is a very interesting passage over there. So flip with me to 2 Corinthians 2:16 real quick. A very famous verse you all have heard of. It says, "To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to others, the aroma of life leading to life." So you all know and are familiar with that portion of that verse. But it goes on. That verse goes on to say, and who is sufficient for these things? It asks the question, who is sufficient for these things? Are we sufficient? Are you sufficient? And if you fast forward, 2 Corinthians 3, 5, he answers the question and he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. We're not sufficient in ourselves at all to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So Gideon here, thousands of years before Paul had a correct self-assessment, he realized, and he was leaving on the pages of scriptures for us, that he's not sufficient here. So that's the first point, correct self-assessment. Second, when you look at verse 16, is the source of strength. And these two points are so interrelated. As we just read in 2 Corinthians, we're not sufficient in ourselves. We are sufficient in whom? In God and in Christ. So the second point that I wanted to highlight that jumps out from these pages to me is that the source for Gideon, the source of strength for him, the source of sufficiencies was God. Look at verse 16. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Why will Gideon defeat the Midianites? Because the Lord tells him, it's because I will be with you. So the source of strength is the Lord. As we just read in 2 Corinthians, that our sufficiency, our strength is in the Lord. So first again, we see that Gideon starts off with a correct self-assessment, which leads him. And if we start with a correct self-assessment, which will lead us to that same answer, is that we're unworthy. We're not sufficient in ourselves. And that leads us, if we are Christians and if we're reading the scriptures, into the second point, which is the source of our sufficiency and the source of our strength is in God, is in the Lord. So we know that. And we see that Gideon started out with a correct self-assessment. We see that God told him that the strength was the Lord, but the context still remains. Context still remains. Here he is living in a completely oppressed time period, in a completely oppressed time frame, and God is telling him, go save my nation. There still is a wide gap and a disconnect between what God is asking him to do and what he needs to do, and belief in God and realization that realization that the strength is coming from the Lord. So how does he bridge that gap? How do we bridge that gap? Well, we see in verses 17 through 20, in that dialogue that continues, that Gideon seeks additional assurances. He seeks to be sure. He wants to be sure. He wants to be sure that this messenger that came to him, that this basically random person, because when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, when you can say Christ appeared to him, there was no halo around his head. He appeared to him looking like any other man. So we see that his faith is awakening, but he is seeking assurance. Just imagine a stranger came up to him and said, as we saw in verse 12 and 14, you shall save Israel from the hand of Midianites. A stranger is telling him that when they are basically in slavery. Furthermore, the stranger tells him, I have not sent thee, but I will be with you. So what could have been Gideon's response? Well, I think if you were his, were you in his shoes, or I was in his shoes, we would have had one of two responses. Number one, we would have thought, you're crazy, right? Because here we are living under occupation, and then some person shows up and says, go ahead and save me. So number one response is, we probably would have thought, you're crazy. Number two response, maybe we would have actually had a suspicion that this man, this person who's talking to me or to Gideon, is actually a messenger of God or is God himself. Because that actually is a realistic response of someone living in that time frame. That is what a normal person would have had as a response. And so we see here that Gideon actually suspects and perceives that it's not just some random stranger, kind of a wacky man, telling him all these things, but we see that Gideon suspects and perceives that it's actually God that is possibly speaking to him. And of course, we believe and know that it's God himself that revealed this to him. And so one theologian also wrote that Gideon wanted proof to ascertain reality of whom he was speaking with and his heavenly calling, which at first he could hardly believe. There was no other evidence open to Gideon at that time. This is different from the Jews of Christ's time, who required a sign, but no sign would be given to them save the sign of the prophet Jonah. They had signs enough already, but had no spiritual perception. So we see that it's different here. And so thus, this request from Gideon is not lack of faith, but it comes from self-distrust, or I would say lack of faith in himself. That's where this request is coming from. Therefore, Gideon wanted to ensure that what he was seeing was not some sort of an illusion. What he was seeing was real, and it was not an illusion. Remember, by the way, when Christ arose and Christ came to see his disciples first and second time, but the first time in particular, he came through the wall, and what did they think? They thought that it was an illusion, actually. Remember, when Christ spoke to them, he actually said, "Give me fish and I will eat." Why did he eat? He ate so they would be sure that it's not a ghost, it's not an illusion, but a real person, a real body that's consuming food. And same thing here. Gideon wants to make sure that this person who's speaking with him, who's telling him, "I have a command for you to save Israel," which is a huge command, it was going to change his life, is actually God himself. And before he commits, he wants those assurances. So that's the third point. Gideon is seeking assurance. The fourth point that I see from here is that Gideon actually received the assurance. God answered him. God responded to him, and he received the assurance. How did he receive an assurance? Look in verses 21 through 23. What does it say in verse 21? "The Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and unleavened bread, and fire rose out from the rock and consumed the meat." So God gives assurance to Gideon by working a miraculous work. When do you see fire come out of a rock and consume meat and bread? Never. And so God gives a sign to assure Gideon that it is him who's speaking to him. It says here at the end of verse 21 that the angel of the Lord departed out of sight. And it doesn't say that he ascended, but this account is very similar to when angel of the Lord or God himself actually appeared to Samson's parents, which is written in chapter 13, verse 20. And over there it says in a very similar account that the angel of the Lord ascended with a fire. So I don't know if the same thing happened here. It sure seems like it could have. But we see that witnessing these miraculous signs, Gideon's suspicion is confirmed. Indeed, God had spoken to him, and he realizes that. So he does receive assurance. And Gideon is so sure now. He is so sure now where he wasn't before. That look at verse 22. In the middle he says, "Alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord." He's so sure. What does that word "alas" mean? If you look in context, the word "alas" means that he's basically getting ready for his death. Gideon knew Old Testament better than I would venture to say we know Old Testament. And he very much knew what's written in Exodus 33:20. And so if you want to flip to Exodus 33:20, it says over there that no one shall live if they see my face. And so Gideon, realizing and being so sure that actually it was God that gave him assurance, now was saying, "Alas." It's an expression of surprise. "I actually have seen the face of the Lord." But look at what follows in verse 23. The Lord, knowing what Gideon was thinking, before those words ever left Gideon's mouth, before he even said anything about death, knowing what Gideon was thinking in verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." It's another way that God was assuring Gideon. He was speaking and addressing that which Gideon didn't even have a chance to articulate out loud. And so we see that God shows mercy to Gideon, obviously by sparing him and by giving him assurance that and revelation that it is him who is speaking to Gideon, in fact. Just as an aside, notice what's written also in verses 19 through 20 and 21. We're not going to spend much time on this today, but notice what Gideon did. In order to seek assurance and to obtain his assurance, what did he do? He went and he made an offering, or said differently, he made a sacrifice to the Lord. What did he do? He went and he got a goat and also an ephah of flour, and he prepared it and he gave it to this person who was God, but he wasn't sure immediately. And if you think about what context was Gideon living in, he was living during the time of oppression and poverty. And for him to go and get a goat and prepare a goat and bread at the time where he's hiding in some caves and in a wine press was a sign of actually of great sacrifice. He wasn't Abraham or Lot where they had a bunch of sheep and goats running around. This might have been their only goat, frankly. So just notice that in order to obtain assurance and security, Gideon actually gave up and sacrificed a ton, maybe even food for the next few weeks or who knows, or months that he had, which is an indication of what he valued and how he valued God himself. And so lastly, look at Gideon's response, which is the fifth point. First is his self-assessment. Second, source of strength that we looked at. Third, he was seeking assurance. Fourth, he received assurance. And fifth, what is his response? So if you look at verse 24, we see Gideon's response. He started out this dialogue, this journey, so to say, doubting. He started out being a skeptic, thinking, really? This strange person is telling me to save the nation of Israel? But look at how he ends. After having received assurance, in verse 24 it says, "So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace,'" or in Hebrew, Yahweh Shalom. "To this day it is in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." So what does that mean? He built an altar. What does that mean in our plain English? What that means is that having started out a doubter, now he is publicly making a proclamation and building an altar. An altar was used to make sacrifices and worship God. So he's publicly acknowledging that he is going to be serving the Lord and he will be worshiping the Lord and not the gods of Midianites to whom the Israelites have turned. So here's the story that we looked at, the 5 points that I wanted to highlight. And maybe as you're sitting there and as I was sitting there, I was thinking, can this be still applicable to my life? Can this be applicable to your life as well? When we look at this 4,000-year-old story or so of a Hebrew judge who was saving the land of Israel, and I think the answer to that question is an unresoundable yes. Why? Because when you look at these 5 elements that we see in this instance, they are ever as real today in our life as they were in Gideon's life. First of all, what's the first one? Self-assessment. Do we start out with a correct self-assessment? When you look at your life, when I look at my life in view of what Scripture says, what is the answer? How do you see yourself? Is my self-assessment that of Gideon's, of Moses, of Paul's, and other leaders of faith? Second point, Gideon was told that the source of his strength is in God. Do you see that as well? Do I see that our only strength is in God, or do we look for it elsewhere? Third, do we look for assurances? And what the story tells us is that looking for assurances is fine. It's okay to look for assurances, though maybe assurance comes in a different manner now versus when it did 4,000 years ago. God's no longer perhaps speaking to you and I directly, but He is speaking to us through His Word and through His pastors and through the men of God that dedicate their lives to you. How often do we seek for that assurance, but when it is given to us, either in the Word of God or through the pastors, like I said, do we sweep it aside? Maybe that's how it is evidenced now in our day and age. Thirdly, do we receive assurances? Do we see assurances in our life? And so many times God answers prayers in your life and mine. And do we just take that for granted? Or do you see that as God actually giving assurances to you and I and underscoring and supporting that His Word is truth? And then lastly, what is our response? We see that Gideon's response was worship and building of an altar. What is our response when we notice all these things in our life? And so we'll see in the subsequent discussions that from this point forward, God, when He speaks to Gideon next and asks him to do various things, the response of Gideon is just absolute submission and positive response to His Word. So we see that from this point forward, Gideon essentially is the vessel of God and His instrument. And I hope that we, as we reflect on our lives as well, and these 5 points, as a result, are His instruments as well in our lives. Amen.